Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Welcome into A to Z Sports, powered as always by the BetMGM app. I'm Austin Stanley. He is Jack Ginger, the Titan Up Podcast, and we are Nashville's on-demand sports talk network, going live weekday mornings at 8 Central Time on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links to the show segment by segment on our Twitter X timeline. Also hit us up on Instagram, TikTok, and Threads for more great Titans content. Got to thank our sponsors because they make it happen for us and they help out all of you. Like Wilson County Hyundai, make them a part of your new car buying process. See them in Lebanon or online at wilsoncountyhyundai.com. The Bone and Joint Institute, boneandjointtn.org, the region's destination for comprehensive orthopedic and sports medicine care. Farm Bureau Health Plans, get better with Farm Bureau Health Plans at fbhp.com/ATOZ. And Krebs Kubota, an elite Kubota dealer with three great locations across the mid-state, Columbia, Franklin, and Murfreesboro. They are online at KrebsKubota.com. So we will get to the smoke screen. That's maybe a smoke screen. Maybe it's just actual game plan for the LA Chargers under new head coach Jim Harbaugh. But when you have a super chat of $49.49 that gets posted before we even go live on YouTube in the YouTube waiting room, you have to get the adjustment and give our guy Noah Leak his time there, dropped in a big super chat. He says, excuse me, we as the Titan community fully acknowledge Nick Wright as public enemy number one. With this move, we demote Keyshawn Johnson number two. This requires all negative posts to be bookmarked and spammed when the Titans beat the Chiefs. Thank you for your time. So, Noah, Nick Wright, as Jack and I said before we went live, when we saw Noah's super chat, the YouTube waiting room, I said Nick Wright is a detriment to society. Jack, your thoughts on Nick Wright? And I have not seen the recent clip, but I know Nick Wright basically called the Titans a poorly run organization. I don't know what else he said. Maybe that's something we can talk about fully tomorrow and react to it once we have a chance to pull the clip and play it and hear it. But yeah, Nick Wright, not very good. Well, I mean, you could argue if he's good at his job or not because we're talking about him, but Jack, your thoughts on Nick Wright on Fox Sports.
I mean, he's a hot take farmer who likes to pick on the smaller market teams. He only discusses the big market teams. It's the only teams he really pays attention to on, you know, in every single sport. And you know, he's kind of like a cold sore in your mouth that just won't go away. You know, right when you think it's gone, you start tonguing it again and it comes back in full force. That's Nick Wright. He'll disappear for the longest time, but then he'll pop up with some BS like this that makes everyone turn against him. And I'm with Noah. Every time you see something like this, bookmark it. Bookmark it and come back to it once the Titans prove him wrong. That's the right way to do this.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with Nick Wright. But like the guy, hot take artist to the max. Does he actually get viewers or does he go viral on social media for saying dumb things like apparently what he said that the Titans will have the number one pick next year and they're a terribly run organization, all those things. So Noah, appreciate the big super chat here to start us off this morning. So shout out to Noah Leak, always a great A to Z viewer and interactor of the show. So now let's get to our originally scheduled topic because Jim Harbaugh may be throwing some smoke at NFL owners meetings this week when asked about what the Chargers might do with their fifth overall pick in the NFL draft, the Titans picking seventh overall. Jim Harbaugh was asked about offensive line play, and here is what the new Chargers head coach had to say.
The offensive line to me is important. I mean, if I asked you the question of like what position group depends on no other position group to be good, but every other position group depends on them to be good. You know, what position group is that? Offensive line. Never not relying on any other position group to be good. They go out and they're good. But yet every other position group relies on the offensive line to be good. And then the D-line, they'll be the ones that argue back. We don't need the offensive line to be good. Do you? Do you like when the offense has a 12-play drive and the field position? Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. You're right. It's like. So yeah, that building that kind of offensive line, that's exciting. Can't wait to do that. April 2nd. Let's get it started. Let's go.
So do you feel
ready to roll?
What you guys?
So there's Jim Harbaugh. Everybody relies on the offensive line to be good. He's not wrong with that, but what does this mean from Jim Harbaugh? Because the Chargers are the 5th overall pick. Previously, they had Mike Williams, now cut. Then they had Keenan Allen, then traded. And so who are the wide receivers for Justin Herbert, who can throw the ball 70 yards down the field and is getting a bunch of money per year after his contract, and that Jim Harbaugh was hired to fix Justin Herbert and maximize Justin Herbert to get to the playoffs, where Brandon Staley was unable to have success with a young, talented quarterback like Justin Herbert? Well, now he's got Josh Palmer, who's a wide receiver 3, likely, and Quentin Johnston, the first-round pick from a year ago from TCU, who was very underwhelming. So Jim Harbaugh is talking about offensive line, when, hey, wide receiver at 5th overall is kind of the thought, because you have all these quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, the Cardinals right there at 4 to take Marvin Harrison Jr., and then Chargers can take, whether it's Roma Dunze, who Jim Harbaugh watched be wide open in the championship game but missed by Michael Penix several times, or Malik Nabers, who we'll talk about, who showed out at his pro day yesterday from LSU. So all this thought of wide receiver at 5, but now it could be offensive line at 5. Is this a smokescreen? What do you think about Jim Harbaugh's comments before we get deeper into this?
Yeah, he's not wrong. Like, the offensive line is the entire offense is completely dependent upon the offensive line. We saw that. Titans fans know that after watching last year's team and the team before them in 2022. Like, what he said is not wrong, and it's really not a surprise that he's such a big fan of offensive line play when you look at what he did at at Michigan for a decade, right? Those teams were built on dominating the line of scrimmage, running the football. So he has a background in offensive line play that's worked for him in the past. It won him a national title this past season. So I'm not surprised to hear him talk about the offensive line like this. I truly believe it's genuine too. I don't believe that this is a big smokescreen or a diversion from, what the Chargers might do in the draft. I truly believe Jim Harbaugh feels this way. And I think the Titans, if it's time to wake up and smell the coffee and also share the same opinion, which I do believe this new regime does when you bring in a guy like Bill Callahan, who the entire building respects. Like, I think that philosophy will change under the Callahan tenure, or under the Callahan regime, I should say. So, I do take Jim Harbaugh's comments seriously. I believe they're genuine, but does it change what the Titans should be expecting in the draft? I don't know. We'll talk about it.
You do think Brian Callahan values the offensive line the same way Jim Harbaugh does? Because I've heard Brian Callahan say, it's all about guys who can score touchdowns, right?
Yeah, sure. But at the same time, his dad, Bill Callahan, we've heard Rand Carthon rave about what he's talked about in meetings when, they're evaluating draft prospects and such. And there really wasn't a big-time left tackle out there on the market this year for the Titans to go and splurge on to where that would change the fan base's opinion about just how much they value that position in dollar signs. But when you're talking about drafting potentially drafting an offensive line or a left tackle, to be more specific, at 7th overall, that's a massive investment that you're going to have to make, not only for the next 4 years, but also in that next contract, if the blue, if the blue chip prospect performs the way he should perform from being drafted at 7. So while they didn't spend a lot of money at that position in the first wave of free agency, I don't think that means that they don't value the position. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. Yes. I don't disagree with that, but the whole thing is, what are they going to do at 7th overall? Are they going to go wide receiver or go Joe Alt, But now if the Chargers go Joe Alt at five, because Jim Harbaugh is talking about this offensive line thing, you know, what do the Titans do if that's the case? So let's get to our question right here, Jack. We're going to ask, what percentage chance do you think Joe Alt is drafted before the Titans are on the clock with the seventh pick? What percentage chance do you think that Joe Alt is off the board, drafted, before the Titans are on the clock at seven? A percentage number. I think this is going to be a very interesting read on the chat here. If you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch, drop in your percentage guess on what you think the number is for Joe Alt to be drafted before the Titans are on the clock at seven. I don't know what people are going to say based on the Jim Harbaugh smokescreen there, but we'll get to all those comments. But first, I want to tell you guys about our friends at Prince's Hot Chicken, the original hot chicken, and their location at the Tanger Outlets in Nashville. We discussed on Monday how poorly I'm doing in our bracket challenge for the NCAA tournament. That's presented by Prince's Hot Chicken at the Tanger Outlets. But games resume today, which means if you're looking for somewhere to go watch these games all weekend long, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, Prince's Hot Chicken at the Tanger Outlets is the place to go. One, the Tanger Outlets has over 100 of your favorite brands. You can get up to 70% off of those favorite brands with their brand new outlet mall shopping destination location off of Cane Ridge. It just opened in October. It's beautiful. Sam and I went out there last week. It really is pretty and gorgeous, and all the different things they have to offer. And Prince's Hot Chicken is right there in the middle of it all. And during the tournament, all tournament long, 10 winglets, your choice of heat, fries, and a fountain drink for just $17.50. A great deal right there for Prince's Hot Chicken. So make it a part of your tournament watching all weekend long and all tournament long. 10 winglets, choice of heat, fries, drink, $17.50. Prince's Hot Chicken at the Tanger Outlets, Nashville. Jack, back to the chat you go. What percentage chance is Joe Alt drafted before the Titans are on the board at seventh overall? What are the percentages in the chat here?
Chris Frazier on Facebook believes it's a done deal. He's at 100%. Andre checks in on YouTube at 60%. Lou Man says 89%. Curtis C says 90%. Richie Guzman's at 80%. Blake's at 50%. Damon says 60%. Cameron's at 80%. 90% from Major Keys. Darren Lee on YouTube says 70%. Anthony believes it's a 45% chance that Alt's drafted before the Titans. Assad's at 30%. So is Yuri. John Vargas just a little bit below at 25%. Billy a little bit above at 33%. Matt's at 75%. Devin Mills is at 43%. Titans Kyle's at a nice 69%. Scott Weaver's at 30%. Stevie's at 55%. Jacob Westerman does him a couple better at 58%. Isaac's at 50%. Got to get off the fence, Isaac. Devin's at 35%. Brandon's at 40%. So is Steve. Jake's at 65%. 45% from Jalel. 60% from Michael. 10% from Carpet King and Flooring. Deborah's at 25%, 50, 55, 20. Willie Madden's at 6%, 25% from Guy Mann, 85% from Bucks Burner. Trucking is at 65%, Scary's at 10, 40 from Alex, 60 from the Distinguished Gentleman, 75%, 69%, 20, 85, 60, 57, 65. So most of these numbers are kind of in the middle range here. 40 to 60 has been the most popular answer, with a couple really low answers mixed in there as well.
Yeah.
We had that one 100% chance. I don't think it's 100% chance that anything happens in the draft outside of Caleb Williams going number one to the Bears. But.
And a quarterback going number two.
Yes, and a quarterback going number two and likely number three. But I don't think that there's a great chance that Joe Alt gets drafted before the Titans. I think that there's a 20% chance that Alt is off the board before the Titans are on the clock. And here's the reason why. We know it's going to be three quarterbacks in the first three. We know that Marvin Harrison's going to go four, most likely. And then you've got the Chargers at five, Giants at six. The Chargers just cut Mike Williams and traded Keenan Allen. Like, this smokescreen is the same thing as bluffing after the entire poker table has already seen your hand. Like, we know you're holding a two and a seven, Jim Harbaugh. We know that you need a wide receiver right now. Just because you think you're bluffing us doesn't mean we're going to fall for it. So everyone in the NFL knows what you have at wide receiver. They know you've got a superstar quarterback. You've got to find a wide receiver to pair with that guy. So just because that Harbaugh says these things about the offensive line, doesn't make me believe they're going wide, or doesn't make me believe they're going offensive tackle. And they've got Rashawn Slater, who's going to be playing on the fourth year of his rookie contract. And he had a great season last year, and it was really a regression from him. He finished with a PFF grade of 76.6. Austin, that was the third highest in the Chargers offense, trailing just Keenan Allen and Justin Herbert. So he's their answer at left tackle. And I understand that, you know, you can draft Alt, maybe plug him in on the right side if you want to. But I truly believe that that would be a massive mistake from the Chargers, who are looking to find, you know, a weapon on the outside for Justin Herbert to maximize his talent. I mean, Justin Herbert hasn't won a playoff game yet. He's too good to not have done that. Harbaugh's got to know that. I know that the Spanos family understands that. So they're going to be looking for a wide receiver, or at the very least a pass catcher in this draft, when you factor in that, you know, they brought in Baltimore's old offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, who loves a nice tight end. But I don't think that Bowers is going to go that early. So I'm not totally buying Harbaugh's smokescreen here. I'm at a 20% shot that Alt gets taken before the Titans. And I believe that the best chance that that happens would probably be with the Giants, who had the worst offensive line in football last season. I know that Andrew Thomas is a decent left tackle, but they need just about anybody and everybody on that offensive line. And the Giants also, you know, they're known to surprise some folks in the NFL draft, especially in the top of it. So I'm at a 20% shot that Alt's off the board before the Titans get picked. The Titans are on the clock.
Interesting, interesting. Okay, all right. So I also know that Jim Harbaugh likes to run the football a lot, right? We know somebody joked in the chat earlier during the Jim Harbaugh videos, like, that means Harbaugh's drafting Blake Corum with the fifth overall pick to the Chargers' former Michigan running back, which is hilarious. And there's a chance that that could happen on day three of the draft, maybe, of Harbaugh getting his old running back that just won a national championship with him a couple months ago. But I also look at, you mentioned Greg Roman, the former Ravens coordinator, with his brother John, and what they did with that offense in Baltimore of running the football, because you had Lamar Jackson, you used a lot of tight ends, heavy formations, and you had a bevy of running backs there. Well, former Ravens running back J.K. Dobbins is actually getting set to visit the L.A. Chargers this week as a free agent. And so Austin Eckler's gone. He's in Washington now. And so you're looking to have more running backs who can give Justin Herbert a more consistent running game. As good as Eckler was, he was more of a dual threat overall. So you say 20% chance that you think Joe Alt is off the board before the Titans pick. I was going to go with 30%. I like your 20% better, so I'm going to go down. I'm going to go down to 25%. 25% chance that Joe Alt is drafted before the Titans are on the clock at 7. But here's where I actually think my 75% chance is where I like that Joe Alt's still on the board, is because of one aspect that you have not mentioned yet. I've seen a couple of it trickle in the chat, but one aspect of why I think Joe Alt is more likely than not to be on the board when the Titans are on the clock at 7. I'll get to that aspect here in a second. But first, the Bone and Joint Institute is where you need to go if you have any type of injury that pops up in life. BoneandJointTN.org, the region's destination for comprehensive orthopedic and sports medicine care. They have all the experts and the resources in their one location right there off I-65 and Highway 96 in Franklin. Or they've got clinics strategically placed around Williamson County. I know a new one opened up in Thompson Station somewhat recently. I actually drove by that one the other week. Very pretty, nice, and all the different bells and whistles that you need to make sure that your injury gets taken care of the right way, appropriately, fast, and easy and convenient for you, because injuries are such a massive inconvenience in life. Don't let it linger. Go check out the Bone and Joint Institute online and book an appointment, boneandjointtn.org.
BetMGM.com, it's the king of sportsbooks. There's going to be a lot of action going on today. Not only is the NHL still rolling, same with the NBA, but the Sweet 16's back in action tonight. And also, to my baseball folks, happy opening day to everyone. I'm upset that my Braves aren't playing today. A little postponed action. But listen, BetMGM, get in on the game. There's going to be plenty of stuff going on today, you know, on the back end of your work day. If you want to get distracted at work, maybe watch a little baseball. download BetMGM, new users sign up with our bonus code A to Z Sports, and you'll get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet misses. Get in the game with A to Z Sports. Of course, bet responsibly, but this is a great promotion going on right now. Take advantage of it. Up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet misses, only at BetMGM with code A to Z Sports.
All right, so I'm going to play the Jim Harbaugh video one more time. And I'll tell you the biggest reason why I think Joe Alt will be on the board when the Titans are selecting at seventh overall. But here was Jim Harbaugh, Chargers head coach, at owners' meetings this
week. The offensive line to me is important. I mean, if I asked you the question of, like, what position group depends on no other position group to be good, but every other position group depends on them to be good, you know, what position group is that? Offensive line. They're not relying on any other position group to be good. They go out and they're good. But yet every other position group relies on the offensive line to be good. And then the D-line, they'll be the ones that argue back. We don't need the offensive line to be good. Do you? Do you like when the offense has a 12-play drive? The field position, you're right. You know, it's like, so yeah, that building that, you know, building that, kind of offensive line, that's exciting. You know, can't wait to do that. April 2nd, let's get it started. Let's go.
Jim, so do you feel
ready to roll?
What you guys?
So there's Jim Harbaugh talking about how important the offensive line is, even after shipping off, cutting, and trading Mike Williams and Keenan Allen and not having many receivers left for Justin Herbert. Jack, the biggest reason why I think Joe Alt will be on the board at seventh overall is because I honestly do think the Chargers' first pick is going to be an offensive lineman. But I don't think it's going to be Joe Alt. And I don't think it's going to be the fifth overall pick. I think the Chargers are a great trade back spot. Because we all know, everybody knows, that the Minnesota Vikings are so damn desperate for a quarterback that they're going to want to move up ahead of the Giants, most likely, to get J.J. McCarthy, Harbaugh's former quarterback at Michigan, in the top seven. I don't think the Titans are a trade-up possibility for the Vikings. I don't think the Vikings want to wait till seven. But I think fifth overall is that spot. I also think they could take the fourth pick from the Cardinals, and the Cardinals trade back again, just like they did last year when the Texans got Will Anderson after taking C.J. Stroud. But I think the Chargers could move back because the Chargers don't need a left tackle. They've got Rashawn Slater, as you mentioned, Jack. He's a really good player going into year four, a former first-round pick. You've got that spot. If the Chargers can trade back to 11 with the Vikings or in that 11 through 13 range, that's where they can find their right tackle of the future. And I think that's what Jim Harbaugh wants to do. He wants to shore up the offensive line, and getting Fuaga from Oregon State at 11 makes a lot of sense. Taking Joe Alt at 5 and making him a right tackle doesn't make as much sense when you can get extra picks. And so I think the Chargers are going offensive line, but they're not going to pick at 5th. And I think that's where they're going to trade back regardless. And even if, here's the thing. What if the Cardinals move back and the Vikings come up to 4 and you go quarterbacks 1, 2, 3, 4? Then somebody's going to come up to get the wide receiver they want and the Chargers can move back again. And so that's where I think the Chargers are a trade back spot and the Titans will have one of the wide receivers and Joe Alt on the board at 7th overall. And that's where the Titans are going to have to make their decision. Do you want Joe Alt at left tackle for 8 to 10 years? Or do you want to go get the wide receiver that's left? And we've had that conversation too over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you mentioned that. And you're not the only one who thinks that the Chargers are going to take an offensive lineman with their first pick. In fact, the betting odds believe that an offensive lineman will be the Chargers' first pick in the draft, no matter where they end up picking. An offensive lineman is favored at minus 150 for the Chargers' first draft selection, with a wide receiver coming in a close second at plus 130. So the odds are on your side here, Austin. And, you know, just for number's sake while we have it, the Giants are favored to select a receiver, minus 175. That's the leading position for the Giants' first pick. offensive line isn't even second. It's in a distant third at plus 900. So the likelihood that the Titans are the team that takes the first offensive lineman in this draft are growing by the minute. And I'm on board with your trade back situation, because the Chargers, like the Titans, they've got multiple holes they need to fix in this draft, and they've got to get these picks right. Well, how do you ensure that you get these picks right? You get more picks. You bring in more picks. You have more darts to throw at the board. And trading back's the way to do that, with the Vikings, a team desperate to start over at quarterback before handing out a mega deal to Justin Jefferson, which is coming soon. So, I'm on board with the trade back situation with the Chargers. And I do believe that right tackle is the position they target. You can get one of those guys around 11, mm-hmm. like Fuaga, like maybe a Latham, if you want to get them there. So there's going to be some options for them if they do trade back. I like your point.
Yeah, and so I did see somebody say, MB on YouTube says, no one is moving up for a wide receiver. If Marvin Harrison Jr. is available at 5 and the Chargers won out of that pick, mm-hmm. maybe. I think that could be the case, where the 3 wideouts are on the board. And if Marvin Harrison Jr. slides a little bit and somebody has a chance to go up and get him, I could see that being the case.
Yeah, and I don't think that – I think we're being a little too, declarative in what's going to happen in this draft. The draft is one of the most unpredictable events in the entire sports schedule. And to say that no one's going to trade up for what appears to be a really, really elite wide receiver class to get the first dude – the second dude is a bit presumptive in my opinion. Like, why is that so inconceivable to you to believe a team jumps up and drafts a wide receiver to lead their offense for the next 4 years, maybe a decade? Like, I don't think that that's out of the realm of possibility at all, like the comment suggests.
Yeah, and then Indy comes back and says, that's the point, Austin. I don't believe Arizona passes on Marvin Harrison Jr. Well, then that was against what I was saying, because I said that I think Arizona is a trade back candidate. I think there's been rumblings around that at the combine and since, that they could move out of 4 and have the Vikings come up to get JJ McCarthy at 4 with the Cardinals passing on Marvin Harrison Jr. But my whole point was, somebody moves up for a wide receiver if Marvin Harrison Jr. is at 5. If the Cardinals stick and pick Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4, then the point is, then now the Chargers move back because somebody's coming up to 5 to get JJ McCarthy. The Vikings do that, and now the Titans have Joe Alt on the board and one of the other receivers. So mm-hmm. I think that's why I'm so confident that Joe Alt will be on the board, is because 4 quarterbacks and 2 wide receivers feel very likely to go in the first 6 picks, which means the Titans might be staring Alt or Adunze in the face. Brandon has a comment real quick, Jack. Didn't the Titans move up for Burks? No, they traded with the Eagles when the Eagles were on the clock at 18. And so that was not a move up for Burks. The Eagles actually did not get the 26th pick from the Titans. The Titans traded the 26th pick, their original pick, away after they drafted Burks at 18 because of the AJ trade. So technically, no, the Titans did not move up for Burks. It was a trading of AJ for that first round pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good distinction.
Let's see. Andre has a super chat, says the Patriots go Alt or trade out. Horrible roster. A rookie QB will fail. Chargers may trade out. Giants go Adunze and target Penix later. An exciting draft, baby. And I think that's kind of your point, Jack, is this is an exciting draft because it kind of feels like it could be chalky with just quarterback, 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 wide receiver Titans. But it's never as easy as it may seem.
No, it never is. There's always a team that has a different evaluation than everyone else. And I believe that this year is a really exciting draft, just because like anything after the second pick is totally on the table. Like Andre just said, like that 3 pick, there's still some question marks there. Like, it's not a done deal the Pats go QB. Like, there's some really talented players on this board that the Patriots are going to have to make a tough decision between. And, not only are they going to have to make a decision between those players, but also I'm sure they're going to be fielding calls about potential trade-up situations from teams like the Vikings. So a lot of moving parts still in the draft. We're a little less than a month out, and things are only going to change and heat up a little bit more. So it's going to be a really exciting month.
Yeah, without a doubt. So let's get to one of those guys who had his pro day yesterday and absolutely blew it up with Malik Nabers. We'll play some highlights from his pro day performance at LSU. But first, Farm Bureau Health Plans is where you should turn for all of your health coverage needs. FBHP.com/ATOZ is where to go to get a quote. They've been serving Tennesseans for over 75 years, and so much has changed across the state of Tennessee during that time. But Farm Bureau Health Plans has remained consistent in serving you and the community around the state to make sure that you have the resources and what you need when it comes to your health coverage. And whatever your situation is, we've heard Farm Bureau Health Plans for decades talk about the older stage in life and making sure you have that extra coverage. Well, now they're putting more energy into the younger demographic and making sure that people that are young adults coming off their parents' insurance and coverage and not really knowing what that next stage of life and adulthood is, that you can be informed to get the right coverage that you need with Farm Bureau Health Plans. And that's where they come into play. So for health, dental, vision, all of it, just picking a la carte, you can do whatever it fits your situation because that's how Farm Bureau Health Plans helps you. So get a quote today at FBHP.com/ATOZ. Oh, you're muted. You're muted.
Excuse me. BetMGM is looking to also help out new users. Download BetMGM, plug in our bonus code that you see on the screen, A to Z Sports, and you'll get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet misses. There's so much action going on today. Get some skin in the game with BetMGM, and don't forget to plug in our bonus code, ATOZ Sports.
All right, let's take a look at Malik Nabers, the LSU wide receiver, who absolutely went wild at his pro day yesterday with a 4.35 40, a 42-inch vertical jump, and followed up another 40 at 4.4. Here's some footage from Malik Nabers' pro day at LSU. That guy is fast, explosive, long, athletic. I mean, catches the football, and he scores a bunch of touchdowns.
Yeah, and one of his best traits that you can't – oh, excuse me, I almost sneezed. You can't display at the combine is his yards after catch ability. Like there is no test or drill to really focus on that while you're being evaluated by scouts and GMs and – you know, head coaches and everything like that. But wow, I mean, an electric wide receiver. And we've talked about how the gap between MHJ and the next wide receiver taken isn't very big. I think it closed even more. And now we're seeing a lot of people believe that it's really neck and neck as to who will be the first wide receiver taken in this draft, Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers. And after a pro day like that, I can't blame anybody for pulling the trigger on Nabers.
Because Marvin Harrison Jr. hasn't done anything.
Nothing
physical. And look, you can have, and we've talked about this, but yesterday when Malik Nabers goes 4.35 and has a 42-inch vertical jump and looks like he looks, I saw national draft analysts being like, yep, Nabers wide receiver one. I'd taken wide receiver one, and now Marvin Harrison Jr., who has had the stance of, I don't have to prove anything because I proved it on the field the last couple of years. It's starting to make me question, like, you got to do something or you're just letting Malik Nabers come and take your throne.
Wow, yeah. And it opens up this conversation. Curtis C's on top of it. Does MHJ not want to play for the Cardinals? Because that's the team that's probably going to take the first wide receiver. Right. And it doesn't feel like MHJ has really done anything to boost his draft stock over this whole draft process, while Nabers is out here crushing his pro day. So, it makes me wonder whether or not MHJ really wants to end up in Arizona.
And then Roma Dunze is also a physical freak as well. But it seems like Neighbors is more twitchy overall than Adunze. And I feel like Marvin Harrison Jr. is not as explosive as either of those guys, but maybe is more of a full, well-rounded, polished receiver prospect because he just knows how to do all the little intricacies that come along with playing that position. And that's where I saw another super chat from King VC says, if Neighbors is on the board with Alt, is it an easy decision? I don't know if that's a question or if that's a statement, but is it an easy decision?
It's the toughest decision possible, I think.
No, they're both on the board. I disagree. I think the tougher decision is Alt or Dunze.
Really?
I think it's an easier decision if Neighbors is there because you go with Malik Neighbors over Joe Alt. Yes.
Yeah, it's a big time decision. Look, Rand Carthon gets paid. It's going to get paid. He's going to earn his paycheck here.
Yep.
When he makes that decision at seventh overall. So you prioritize Neighbors over Alt. I'm not so sure. I change every day though. And you know, I think if the board falls that way to where both of those players are available, then the Titans have already won. They've already won. They've got a blue chip guy. You know, I don't want to say can't miss, but essentially a can't miss prospect at seven overall, at a desperate position of need. Now the wide receiver position, you know, isn't as desperate of a need as it once was a couple weeks ago, but man, would the Titans win the lottery if both of those dudes were there at seven?
But let's just think about it, though, because and this is my case for why wide receiver at seven is still an option after the addition of Calvin Ridley in free agency, is because you only have one more year with DeAndre Hopkins under contract. He will then be 32. Then you have 2 years of Calvin Ridley that you're locked into. You can get out of it after that. And so within the next two seasons, Will Levis will then try to earn that $50 million per year contract, right? So within the next 2 years, which is Levis's second and third year before his last year of his rookie deal, there's a likeliness that you've got a 32-year-old D-Hop who's now gone and you're going into a 31/32-year-old Calvin Ridley that you can save money on and move away from. And now you're empty again at wide receiver, as you're about to pay Levis a bunch of money, where if you draft the guy now with Adunze or Neighbors, now you've at least got that guy to roll into that big quarterback contract with. Maybe at best case scenario, you've got the guy you draft at seven here in Calvin Ridley as well. And so you've got a really good one and two with Will Levis going into year four and five.
Yeah, and I've talked about how Brian Callahan loves a big three out wide at wide receiver, and I don't blame anybody for questioning whether or not Treylon Burks fits into that big three. Like, is he a three or is he a four? You can make a case for both, and probably an easier case to be made there for being wide receiver four here. I mean, in Denver, he had Demaryius Thomas, he had Emmanuel Sanders, he had Eric Decker. In Detroit, he had Golden Tate in his prime. Marvin Jones Jr. was killing it. Anquan Boldin was also up there while Callahan was there. And then obviously the trio in Cincinnati that he had. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility for Callahan to go find that third musketeer here at seventh overall, whether it's Neighbors or Adunze. So, you know, it's completely on the table for me. It's something that Callahan has worked with his entire career in the NFL. And look, with D-Hop's contract situation and Ridley turning 30 next year and Burks is, you know, in a you know, unavailability throughout the course of his career, I think that they do still need a guy who can slot in at three if something happens to Burks. And look, Burks's availability is not a guarantee anymore. Like if Burks is out there, great, but I think the expectation for him is 400-500 yards. Anything you get beyond that is an absolute bonus. So why not go get a guy who's a little more stable? Why not go get a guy with a little bit higher of a ceiling? Why not go get a guy who can do both? Catch the ball, make plays after the catch and also get open, which is something Treylon Burks has had struggles with in the league. So if you want to go find that third piece to that big three, seventh overall between Neighbors and Adunze might be the spot to do it.
All right. Skip says it's Alt. I don't know.
It very well could be.
Absolutely. So we both said, so we asked the question earlier, what percentage chance is Joe Alt drafted before the Titans are on the clock at 7? You said 20% chance. I said 30, but I liked your 20, so I moved down to 25%. So a 20% to 25% chance that Joe Alt is drafted before the Titans are on the clock at 7, which means he's very likely to be on the clock at 7 when the Titans go on the board, in our opinions, right? So now let's do this for Malik Nabers. What percentage chance is Nabers drafted before the Titans are on the clock with a 7th overall pick? I think this is going to be interesting. What percentage chance is Malik Nabers drafted before the Titans are on the clock at 7? I'm guaranteeing this is going to be a higher percentage than the one before for Joe Alt. We'll find those out. Make sure you like the show. Hit that thumbs up button as well in the chat. Hit the like button. That goes a long way for us on Facebook and on YouTube. We'll get to your percentages here in a second. But first, Krebs Kubota is an elite Kubota dealer across the mid-states because they have the best equipment and the best warranties with that equipment in the industry. And you can't find anybody that does it better than Krebs Kubota in the Middle Tennessee area. The Krebs family started this company over 18 years ago in Columbia with their location there. And they've done such a great job with customer service and building relationships with you where you can trust them and whatever your equipment needs are for your residential or commercial property, the Krebs Kubota is the place you go to. And it's so well that they grew from just having the Columbia location to then adding Franklin and Murfreesboro on top of it over the last several years. And the relationship with Kubota overall makes it better for you. So everybody wins with Krebs Kubota. You have to have a good relationship with your equipment provider because everything is important, whether you need to buy or rent that piece of equipment for whatever project you have going on. Krebs Kubota is the place to go online at KrebsKubota.com.
Trust is also important when you're looking for a sports book. Look, if you're tired of the one you're on, you're not having luck, you want to switch it up, download BetMGM because new users, if you plug in our bonus code A to Z Sports, you'll get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet misses. You can spend that however you'd like. The Sweet 16s tonight, MLB opening day. The Preds are on an 18-game point streak. There's a lot of action going on across all sports. Get in the game with BetMGM and do it with our bonus code ATOZSports. Get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet misses.
Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 or older, Tennessee only new customer offer. All promotions, subject qualifications, eligible requirements. First online money where your only rewards is your knowledgeable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days. If for problem games, call Tennessee Redline 800-889-9789. What percentage chance will Malik Nabers be drafted before the Titans are on the clock at 7? These should be higher percentages than the Joe Alt question earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm. And they are. John starts us off with 80%. Steve Jones says it's 90. Andre's at 70. Robert says it's 10%. MGM bet it on Alt being there. Isaac says 80. Rashid 60. Scott's at an 80. We've got a 50 from Blake, an 85 from Dylan. Derek checks in with a 70 on YouTube. Luman believes it's a really high percent, 97.9% chance that Nabers is gone, 60%, 75 from Alton, 90 from Rooney. Matt's at 45, so is Orlando. Willie's just a tick above at 50. Eric is at 80. Adrian checks in at 50. We got to get off the fence, people. Billy Jones says 60%. Abdul says it's 85. Titans Kyle's at 80. Jake Hughes is at 65. We're coming down a little bit. David Johnson's all the way down at a 35%. Chandler Cummings, 90. So is Michael Kennedy. We've got 82 from IR Hoshi. Darius Horton's also in that range, 85 to 90%. Yuri's at 70. Chris Frazier's at 50. 95 from Skip, 97.7. Repeating from top tier. Still 40% from Brandon. Michael Billington's at 85. Orlando's at 80. 75 from Sean King. 85 from Patrick Bird. Cost 66 at a 90%. We've got an 89 from James Welch. And finally, we'll close it out with Curtis C. on YouTube at an 86% chance. Austin, I'm also around 80%. I think that's going to be my number. After a pro day like yesterday, you put up a 4.35, you jump 42 inches, and then you have the tape that Malik Nabers has. I think it's a no-brainer. I think it would be a shock to me if Malik Nabers was still available at 7th overall. And the only way that I believe that that would happen is if, you know, there were a couple of trades. Right, like if
I was going to ask you, what is the scenario that Nabers is there at 7?
Yeah, because I think the Cardinals would have to trade back, and then I think the Chargers would have to go tight end or a possible trade back there as well as teams jump up and pull J.J. McCarthy and possibly maybe Rome Odunze because the Giants are going to go wide receiver. I think that it would be a long shot to see Malik Nabers available at 7.
I'm at a 90% chance he's gone by 7. And even higher.
That's strong. That's really strong.
I don't see how he's going to make it. Darius.
That's the thing.
Darius says he'd have to post a picture of him in a gas mask.
I was in college when Laramie Tunsil did that at Ole Miss. So that
shout
was
out fun. Laramie Tunsil.
That was interesting. Man,
what a wild night. just bizarro. So, look, how does it happen? Like, where is my 10% chance that he is on the board? A lot of it is just because, you know, I didn't expect Cleveland Farrell to go 4th overall to the Raiders in 2019's draft because the Raiders are stupid. And, you know, somebody's going to do something stupid, right? I'm sitting here thinking, like, I think 2 trades would have to happen. J.J. McCarthy goes high, maybe to the Cardinals at 4. And now you've got 4 quarterbacks and everybody else with the 5th pick on the clock. Alt. And the Chargers want an offensive lineman. And I just have a hard time seeing the Giants not taking Malik Nabers. Because I don't know if Marvin Harrison Jr. And Nabers both fall to the Giants. But how crazy would that be? What if quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4, the Chargers take Alt at 5, and then it's the Giants with Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers looking at 6? Do they? Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. Which is where I think Malik Nabers is good as gone, which is a bummer because he is becoming one of my favorite players in this draft.
Yeah, and just a couple of weeks ago, like after Rome Odunze really impressed everyone at the combine, like there were talks that he may have surpassed Malik Nabers because Malik Nabers didn't work out at the combine. I also do think that there's a little bit of bias from draft analysts and reporters who really want some of these top tier guys, these click generators, to go out and put something out there to you know, blow people's minds with their 40 time or their vertical leap or, you know, their shuttle time, whatever it may be. So I think that there's a little bit of bias in that reporting. Like, oh, well, you know, now there's thoughts that Nabers could be the number one wide receiver. He could overtake Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that there's still some built up frustration from these guys covering the draft and the draft process that MHJ has done nothing. He's shown nothing. He's given no reason for people to click these stories. And the reporters and analysts and writers, I think, are taking that into account when, you know, ranking their wide receivers. Is that crazy to think? That is a little bit tinfoil hat.
I definitely think media members do that now. But I also, you know, depends on who you're, you know, if it's Nick Wright, then yeah, Nick Wright's going to hold a grudge. Who we started the show off with Noah's big time super chat there. But I think, for the most part, draft analysts go off of either their eyeballs or what they're hearing or the blend of both. And, you know, Goated says Nabers ran a 40 with no pads. So why would that matter? I mean,
Goated, you got to wake up and smell the coffee.
Where you been, dog? Like, Goated's been like, this is what this is about.
It might not matter to you, but that drill right there has made players millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars just by running a good 40 time.
And it's not, look, because Goated, we're not saying that Malik Nabers running a 4.35 with no pads and no shirt on is going to make him a top pick. It's the fact that he created the most missed tackles of any wide receiver in the FBS last year, and he ran a 4.35. Like, it's the fact that he's got both. His tape is phenomenal, and then his workout was also phenomenal, right? Like, it's just it's a combination of everything. That's welcome to the draft process, Goated.
And look, it doesn't mean he's going to be a great player. Like, how many times have we seen the guy that runs the fastest 40 in the draft flame out and not do anything? You know that happens frequently, but when you have the tape, when you have the skill set, when you have the physical tools, a 40 time like that really vaults you up in this draft process, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it correlates or not. Like, teams are hinging a lot of this evaluation process on these 40 times, on these vertical leaps, on these cone drills. Like, it may not matter to you, but I promise you it matters to these scouts who are getting paid to evaluate these things.
Yes. And Devin Mills says John Ross was pretty fast too. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
he's out of the league.
And he didn't do anything when he was in the league. With, you know, John Ross didn't have tape that he was creating missed tackles because of shiftiness and explosiveness. John Ross was a track star who played football. And I think that's where the NFL's caught up on. You got to have both. And the Bengals got burned by taking John Ross in the top 10 in the 2017 draft. The Titans decided to go with Corey Davis, and the Chargers went with Mike Williams over John Ross, when John Ross at the time was flirting with Chris Johnson's 40 record. Yeah. But the better receivers were Mike Williams and Corey Davis. Corey Davis didn't even run a 40 in that pre-draft process.
Yeah. It's a trick. Like, in the era of analytics, you cannot take the 40 time and say, oh, well, he runs a fast 40, I want him because of that. Like, there has to be a balance, right? Everything in the analytics area, it has to be properly balanced. Like, you've got to believe what you see with your eyes. You've got to make sure you do the eye test. And then if that matches up, then the analytics, the numbers, the 40 times, the vertical leaps can only help, like, I guess, validate your opinion from what you've watched with the pads on.
Yeah. And Justin Andrew Myers on Facebook says, Xavier Worthy is the next John Ross. I disagree. If you go back and look at Xavier Worthy, he's way more than what John Ross was. John Ross was also in an era of underdeveloped Pac-12 spread offenses, right? John Ross was more like Kendall Wright, where they didn't run a route tree. It was mostly throw it open because it was schemed open, where I think what Texas is doing, what Washington with Roma Dunze is doing, and Malik Nabers and LSU, those are more translatable pass concepts to the NFL now than what Kendall Wright did at Baylor in 2012-13 and what John Ross did at Washington in 2016. Worthy can run routes. Worthy gets open, creates separation, and he runs fast as hell in a straight line.
Yeah, absolutely. And because he performs well with the pads on and also has a nice 40 time, his stock is boosted, and that's how this process works.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Jake brings up, and others, Andre says Worthy just has to stay healthy. He's a little light.
Devonta Smith has kind of changed that perception, though, right? Like he hasn't been hurt a whole lot. He's performed at a high level as a wide receiver too, in an elite offense. Devonta Smith being so frail, small, thin, skinny, whatever you want to say, has I think helped out a lot of guys with the build of, like, Xavier Worthy has, and helping teams trust those guys more when you draft them at a high spot. So Devonta Smith probably helped Xavier Worthy make some money.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Devonta Smith out there for slim reapers everywhere in college football to make it in the league. All right, Jack, it's been a few weeks, but the magic bucket is back, and let's hit it now. Shout out to our friends at Wilson County Hyundai, wilsoncountyhyundai.com. Make them a part of your new car buying process. See your guy Payne Bone in Lebanon or online at wilsoncountyhyundai.com. The magic bucket, if you're new to the show, first, like the show and subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow our Facebook page if you haven't done it all yet. The magic bucket, something stupid we do on Thursdays to end the show. We've got this bucket and a bunch of slips of paper in there. This will be for me. I'll go first. And then you'll go after that, Jack. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Ooh. This is appropriate for this week. You had to do this a few weeks ago. I get to do this. So if you want to get your 30-second clock out.
I've got it out.
All right. What is one rule in sports that needs to be changed? Make your case for 30 seconds. So obviously the hip drop tackle is now a penalty. and the new kickoff rule has been approved this week. So this is a great timing for me to pull this in the magic bucket. So let me get my...
While you think, I believe that my rule was intentional walks in baseball should be abolished.
Yes,
because it's already a pretty dry game. To walk some of the best hitters, most exciting players, is a detriment to the sport. So I believe that that should be outlawed. Austin, I've got my 30-second clock ready whenever you're ready. I know this takes a little bit to think of because there's so many sports, so many rules, so many bad rules now. Do you kind of have a direction?
I do. I just got to make sure that I brainstorm how I want to present my rule change.
Okay.
But
I'm ready whenever you are. So on your first word, we'll start this thing.
An offensive player, ball carrier, fumbling the ball through the end zone and out of the end zone should not be a fumble and immediately given to the defense. It should be penalized by getting the ball and not going back to the 20-yard line, but the offense should retain possession but be penalized by going back to the 35-yard line to have a new set of downs, first and 10 at the 35, instead of giving the defense the football. I think it's too big of a deal. It's too strong.
Okay. The case has been made. And I think a lot of people agree with you. Well, we'll see what the chat thinks. But, yeah, it's a really harsh rule, isn't it? Yeah. Fumbling through the end zone and the other team getting the football.
All right. Okay. Chris says I hit a home run. Worst rule known to man. Curtis says amen. Okay. All right.
Good stuff.
There's Mike. Dylan just says, hold on to the ball.
Ball security is job security.
Yeah, no, for sure. I just think it's too harsh. It's too, too big of a deal. All right. And I've been on both sides of that thing, right?
I think what if you moved it back to the 50? Because you still come away with points in today's day and age with a nice kicker. You know, and it's a bad thing to fight. Like, the defense could have been in position to recover that.
Another rule that I think is, I think college football overtime should not start the 25-yard line. I think it should start the 40. I think you have to get at least a first down to earn field goal range.
I like that. Now, I like that a lot. Kickers have just improved so much.
Yeah, yeah. All right, let's see what you got here.
Stop smiling.
I don't think you haven't done this. I think I have, but it might have been a while. You can pull up the lyrics for this. Oh. Yeah, I did this. You have to rap the first verse of Lose Yourself by Eminem, starting with Yo.
All right, I can do that.
All right, so I will give you the chance to pull the lyrics up. And we'll see if you can get a little 8 Mile action going here.
Starting with Yo, so I go straight into verse one. Okay.
Yeah, the opening of the song.
I got to get the sneeze out.
Oh, if you're fighting off a sneeze, there you go.
I muted myself. Okay, here we go. We ready?
On you, man.
So just the first verse.
Yes.
Yo. His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. Mom's spaghetti. He's nervous, but on the surface, he looks calm and ready to drop bombs. But he keeps on forgetting what he wrote down. The whole crowd goes so loud. He opens his mouth, but the words won't. Everybody's joking now. The clock's run out. Time's up. Over. Blow. Snap back to reality. Oh, there goes gravity. Oh, there goes rabbit. He choked. He's so mad. But he won't give up that easy. He know he won't have it. He knows his whole back to these ropes don't matter. He's dope. He knows that. But he's broke. He's so stagnant. He knows he's when he goes back home to his mobile home, that's when it's back to the lab again. Yo, this old rapper, better go capture this moment and hope don't pass him. I ran out of steam towards the end, but I gave it my
best. I think he also ran out of Wi-Fi. unless that was my Wi-Fi that was having a hard time, but hey, props.
No, it's the lyric, the lyrics browser kept loading while I was doing it. Oh gosh.
Jack G Unit Gentry.
We actually talked about in Dozen Trivia yesterday, Austin. There was a trivia question about G Unit, and I had to educate Sam Phelan that Uncle Young Buck Tighten Up Podcast was a member that rap group.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Well, hey, bravo. That's a fun one.
Yeah, I guess. Depending on your definition of fun, it is.
Back to the lab again, yo.
Yep, that's right.
All right, there we go. Great show on this Thursday. That'll be it for us. Make sure you hit that like button, like the show before you go. Buck Rising Live tonight for A to D Sports Prime Time, and Jack and I will be back on a Friday, a good Friday, which also means a Vols game day Friday in the Sweet 16. So we'll catch you guys later on. Make sure you follow us all over social media, and we'll catch you again later. Hit that like button. Appreciate it as always.
Tighten Up Pod out now.